Good morning once again. This is Cyril Stevens coming to you from Christmas Valley. And I want to continue this wonderful theme that we are called by a new name as recorded for us in Isaiah 62. We have a new name given. In the second verse of Isaiah 62, it says, "The Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. Ye shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name." How precious God is giving us a new name. One of those names, as I have referred to in the last four of our studies, I would like to share with you a new name that he has given us. It's a beautiful name. It's called a jewel. We are his jewels. We find, for instance, if we go into Malachi and chapter 3 and verse 17, the people of God are his jewels. We read here, "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I publicly recognize and openly declare them to be my jewels, my special possession, my peculiar treasure. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him." We are jewels in the eyes of God. Now, he said in the scriptures, especially in the book of Psalms, several different times that our children are jewels. They are the heritage of the Lord. So we should be very careful how we deal with children, and we should be very careful that we teach them how to love the Lord their God, who is the eternal God and Father of all men. We should be sure to be saying to people, no matter who they are, if they're our children, we should be sure to be recognizing them as the beautiful children that God has given. They are jewels. They are our heritage. We fight over jewelry. When a person dies, we want to collect this ring or this bracelet or this knick-knack or whatever. But it's interesting to discover how that in these verses from 7 through 18 of Malachi, we read some tremendous truths of how God views a person. And he ends up with this great expression, "Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him who serves God and who does not serve him." By the time this recording is aired, we will have a different president or the same president reinstated. We need to be very careful, because if we mishandle our jewels, we'll lose them. And this country has been overly generous, tremendously kind, and very courageous in the past. But now it seems that we need to look at home, and we need to understand what's happening in our own backyards, and we need to comprehend what is the height and the depth and the breadth and the love of God in our own families. Look at your family. Do you see them as jewels, precious jewels? What would you call them? And if you go with me into Revelation and chapter 21, you will discover how God sees jewelry. He says that the countryside will be looking at a building that he makes. And it's very, very beautiful. In the 21st chapter of Revelation and verses 19 through 22, the foundation stones of the wall of the city are ornamented with all the precious stones. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third white agate, and the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, and the sixth sardis, and the seventh crystallite, and the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, and the tenth crystalline, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each separate gate being built of one solid pearl. The main street, or the broadway of the street, was of gold and pure and translucent as glass. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Omnipotent himself and the Lamb himself are its temple. Now, this is a vastly different thing that we see God is putting together, but he's saying these are the jewels, all made up and beautiful. So let's look at a jewel for a moment and see that we're called jewels because his people are very precious to him. The word jewels could be translated peculiar treasure. We are highly valued ones. The Jews are highly valued. So are the saints. Everyone that is born again is a jewel. Why are we so precious to him? Because he bought us with his own blood, because he solved the worst problem we had. You see, sin has with it a deterrent. The deterrent is that holiness cannot walk alongside or be beside sin. And so the filth of sin, the darkness of sin, the wretchedness of sin needs to be purged away. And man, though he scrubbed himself well, though he put on fine dresses and had fine airs and graces, could never match the holiness of God. Yet God calls upon people to be holy as he is holy. And the only way God could make that happen was to produce in man holiness. Now, we are holy when we turn our attention and trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And everyone that is born again is a jewel. That's why we're so precious to him. Like jewels, we are God's creation. No man can make a jewel. No chemist ever made a diamond or a sapphire or ruby. We are the amazing product of God, our Creator. We Christians are his creation. That is, from the beginning, a new creation. If you go to 2 Corinthians 5:17, you read the Apostle Paul saying that we have been made new. All things have become new, and we are a new creation. The old person that was full of sin and full of shame and full of wretchedness, that person now is changed because their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ has given them a new and living way. And the Lord Jesus is that way. The Lord Jesus is that truth. The Lord Jesus is that life. And when we put our trust in him, we are a new creation. So there are imitations, and I must point that out. There are some imitation jewelry, and there are some imitation Christians. But like the imitation jewelry, it's just glass. People that profess to have faith and are not part of God's new creation by virtue of his sovereign grace and miracle of new birth, they are people like jewels made of glass. My father was a gemologist, amongst other things. He was also an engraver, a goldsmith, and a silversmith, and so on. He was a very gifted man, and he could take the smallest gem and set it so that it looked very, very beautiful. He'd even pretend to make it look bigger by reflections, the way he worked the metal and so on. I could never understand how he managed that quite as well as he did, but he did. And it was truly a very wonderful thing that he did. But we are in new birth. We are in salvation. We are by redemption. We are by the shed blood of Jesus. We become part of Jesus. We become his person, and his person becomes our life. And so we have the miracle of new birth by the sovereign grace of God. And without that new creation, we're simply professors of faith. You see, like jewels, we're a very rare people. Diamonds are rare compared with the pebbles on the beach. There are comparatively so few diamonds. Comparatively few who love the Lord and who are keen to follow his way. Jesus was speaking about this in Matthew 7 and verses 13 and 14 and Luke 12 and verse 32, where Jesus says, "Follow me. Leave all that you have and come, follow me." In Malachi's day, few knew the Lord, and most were just pebbles on a beach. And so we have to ask this question, who am I? Am I a precious diamond, or am I just another pebble? And you can become a diamond, a terrifically beautiful one, if you will spend time in the presence of God and acknowledge that Jesus is your Savior, and as you acknowledge his Saviorship in your life, you will become precious like a diamond is precious. I went to an exhibition one time. A film star, I believe, had purchased this great big, and I've forgotten how many carats, but it was a great big diamond, and it was on display for people to see. It was under a glass dome, and it was shielded by all sorts of electronic devices. This is some years back when electronics weren't what they are today. You could walk past. The only benefit came from seeing this diamond was that you could say you'd seen the biggest diamond in the world. All I could think of was if it was stuck in a necklace, the poor woman wouldn't be able to hold her head up. It was so large and heavy, apparently. Well, are you a precious jewel or a pebble? And you have the opportunity today at this moment to say, I want to be a jewel. Another question or statement we need to make about this is that like jewels, we are very beautiful. We're not beautiful in ourselves. We can't misunderstand this. But God made us beautiful with his salvation. If you go to Psalm 149 and verse 4, you read there how beautiful are the feet of those that carry the gospel. And you can't carry the gospel until you've been born again. He has placed within his own divine life the beautiful salvation, and we become very beautiful, for thus we are filled with heavenly brilliance. I saw some diamonds, a collection of diamonds one time, and they were all dull and really scruffy looking. I guess I would, as a child that I was, if I'd have played with them, I wouldn't have polished them, and I would have just thought they were pieces of glass. But in fact, when the master hand of my father had finished with those diamonds, they sparkled and were beautiful and full of a brilliance. One day I was in a jewelry shop in Bend, and one of the fellows behind the counter said, because he likes me, I suppose, he said, "Have you ever seen a flame inside a diamond?" And I looked at him and I giggled. I'd never seen a flame inside a diamond. And under a thick magnifying glass, he showed me. And the middle of the diamond, there was a flame. I didn't know that. And it was exciting to see that. Now, people were buying diamonds because they had a flame in the middle of them. How precious, beautiful, with brilliance, but better to be a diamond for the Lord Jesus and have heavenly brilliance. Like diamonds, we're very varied, different sizes, shapes, colors, and textures. We are made in the same place. We are made new in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:10 tells us about that. We all manifest the divine life in a different way. The important thing is we are his jewels. And then again, like jewels, we're very precious because of our costliness. Think of the cost of redemption. Read the first epistle of Peter in chapter 1 and verses 18 through 19. You'll discover there how the apostle Peter recognized the tremendous cost of your salvation and my salvation. Our salvation cost the Lord Jesus his life. Let me read that to you, because the first chapter of 1 Peter, in the 18th verse, through the 19th says this: you must know and recognize that you were redeemed or ransomed from the useless, fruitless way of living inherited by tradition from your forefathers, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ, the Messiah, like that of a sacrificial lamb without blemish and without spot. The apostle is saying the cost of our salvation is colossal. The cost of our being given this great statement of being a jewel in the eyes of the Lord, why, it cost a great deal. No money could redeem us, only the precious blood of Jesus Christ the Lord. We are precious to God because he gave his precious Son, who shed his blood to redeem us. Now, what are the characteristics of the Lord's jewels? We read in these verses the word then. Now, as you get into the scripture, you realize that sometimes we need to have a good look at the words one by one. And the word then in Malachi 3:17, and they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I publicly recognize and openly declare them to be my jewels. There's going to be a day when God will take the weak and sickly, the foolish things of this world, and say, see, these are the people that I have built my new Jerusalem upon. These are the people that I have built my new redemption on. The New Testament in his blood is written in the fleshy tablets of the hearts of the weak, of the sickly, of the useless. There are not many people of high standing and high estate that he writes that in their hearts. And so we need to remember it. Then, well, when is then? When the majority of God's covenant people were out of touch with him and were sinning against him, there were some who did three things. These show us marks and characteristics of those who are the Lord's jewels. First, they feared the Lord. The reverential fear of God, of the child of God, is apparent. The fear of holy worshippers, this reverential fear, instead of acting as some people did who are mentioned in Malachi 3 and verses 13 through 15, we read, your words have been strong and hard against me, says the Lord. Yea, yet you say that, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. And what profit is it if we keep his ordinances and walk gloomily, as if in mourning apparel before the Lord of hosts? And now we consider the proud and arrogant happy and favored. Evildoers are exalted and prosper. Yes, and when they test God, they escaped unpunished. Then those who feared the Lord talked often one to another, and the Lord listened to it, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those that reverenced and worshipfully feared the Lord, and who thought on his name. Notice, the world hasn't changed from Malachi's time. There are those that feared the Lord. These are people who are jewels, called jewels, and they feared the Lord. If you go to Psalm 34, verses 9 through 11, you can read it there. The second thing is, they spake often one to another in verse 16 here. Their lips were full of praise to God and of the testimony before others. And you can share this with Psalm 66, verse 16. We have to say, is this our testimony from the heart and soul? If we are jewels, it should be. And we should have this great passion to talk to others and be in front of others what we are supposed to be. The third thing here is they meditated upon his name. Verse 16 tells us this. Then those who feared the Lord talked often one to another, and the Lord listened and heard it. when we talk of the Lord, he listens. And the picture here is he opens a book and writes down what it is we talk about. Their meditation was centered upon the Lord Jesus himself, upon his name, upon his person, upon his work. What is his name? 25 times in this little prophecy is called the Lord of hosts. Great work and power and might are his. How God has changed our thoughts since we became jewels. Now we think of him in terms of repentance and faith and love, and we meditate upon his might and power and grace and glory. Here is a third thing I would quickly leave with you. What is the Lord's attitude towards his jewels? Well, in verses 16 and 17, we read it. We have three things that indicate the Lord's loving interest in his jewels. He listens to them and delights in them. That's the first thing we would say about verse 16. The Lord hearkened and heard. The Lord listens. He bent down from heaven, his dwelling place, and listened to holy conversations of his precious ones. This is one reason we Christians should get hold of our language and make sure that we don't have filthy language seeping in, creeping in to our daily speech. We should be careful because God is listening. He draws near to us. And what does he hear? What does he hear when your heart is thinking evil thoughts or righteous thoughts? And the second thing here, he records the history of his jewels. In verse 16, we read that he opened a book of remembrance. The book before him records all details accurately. Not the Lamb's book of life, not the book for recording faithful service. When we read this book, we will discover he did hear our prayers, did bless faithfulness and faithful service. Even little things will be recorded. And you can go to Matthew chapter 25, read from verses 35 through 45. Very important piece of scripture. The Lord hears all these things. Now he assures us eternal life. And I would say he assures us of eternal security. You see, in this, listen to these words in verse 17, "They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day." What day? The day of the Lord Jesus Christ's return. Read 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Notice the promise is, "When I make up my jewels." This suggests a specific number. No one lost, no one missing. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yet he knows that some have cast themselves away from him and are walking diametrically opposed to him and pretend in their profession to be more than they are. The Lord knows all about these things, but no one he has called is lost or missing. All the elect can safely say that they are gathered in. There are so many scriptures that deal with this, but I would leave two with you. John chapter 10 and verses 28 through 9, where Jesus says, "Nobody plucks them out of my hand, and I dwell in the Father's hand, and nobody and nothing can pluck them from my Father's hand." Paul also records and says, "How shall we see all of this? Shall we be confident in God, or shall we see what goes on?" He says, "Shall principalities or powers, shall height or depth or length or breadth, shall people come upon us from foreign lands? Shall the famine or the sword, shall it separate us from the love of God?" No. We cannot be separated from the love of God, no matter what our circumstance. And the other scripture I would leave with you is 2 Timothy 1:12 and chapter 2 and verse 19. He welcomes us as sons in verse 17. He gives to his jewels privileges such as sonship. How wonderful is the grace of God! If you read Romans 8 and verses 16 and 17 and Hebrews 1, 2, you read several things. And the beautiful thing is that we are part of this cloud of witnesses, and we witness the beauty of the fact that we are precious in His sight. We are jewels. We are jewels. We used to sing in Sunday school, precious jewels. The hymn was just a child's hymn, so adults didn't seem to sing it very much. But I can remember getting all worked up as a little boy, thinking, I belong to Jesus, and He treats me with the preciousness that my father treats a precious gem. He holds me between His finger and thumb. He does not cast me away. He holds me. And during the last several years, I have come to the place where I can truly say, no matter what my condition or sinfulness may have been, no matter where I have wandered to the left or the right, no matter how I've backtracked and done foolish things and said foolish things, no matter how it's happened, I am still His jewel. And He lays me, as it were, on the bench, making up a beautiful crown. And I'm part of the jewelry in that crown. So I have very quickly, not very incisively, but very quickly I've shared with you one of the names that we are called when we know the Lord as our Saviour. We know that we are His jewels, precious jewels. Thank you for hearing all this. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that You will clean us up and sparkle us so that we may shine in this dull world of pebbles, and that we may shine so beautifully that people may see the love of God in us and the holiness and the completeness that we have in Jesus. Will You bless every listener here today for Your name's sake? Amen. Hey, thank you for listening. God bless. Goodbye.